All right. Good morning, everybody. Lord Jesus, we come to you today, God. We ask for blessing over this time, God. Father, we ask just for healing and hope and joy, God, in this time that we have together. God, that we're going to hear the word preached and enjoy some time with you. Father, we just pray that you would sit with us. God, here, let us just drown out everything else, God, so we can hear your voice. In your name we pray, amen.
That guides my heart.
righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my soul to rise to you. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My Father, well, we just come to you today, God, just kind of admitting that today. Lord, whether we want to admit it or not, or whether we know it or not, God, we are people that are very much in need of your touch, your healing, your rescue, your hope. God, a lot of us have found ourselves in some pretty dark places. God, we know that that is when you shine the most, God, when we're at our lowest. God, that's when your rescue is the most amazing. God, we just pray today, God, just God, that you would just drown out all the voices, all the thoughts, negative thoughts, evil thoughts that we have. God, that we could hear your true voice. God, we just pray over every word that's spoken today. God, we pray over Bo, God, as he speaks. Father, that you would just speak to us. God, that you would use your words, God, that were written so long ago. God, to lead us back to an ancient path. God, that leads to healing and hope. A path that we've all sort of forgotten. Or God, think that we've found a better way. God, would you just speak in a fresh way today, God, to us. And remind us, Lord, that freedom is found when we see our need and we see that you're the only one that can satisfy it. God, we just pray right now, God, that you would speak into us, into our hearts, into our souls. God, that you would just sidle up and remind us there's nothing that we have done or could do, God, that would separate us from your love and from your care. In your name we pray, amen.
How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome. It's wonderful to be here. This first part of July, we actually have a little breeze today, which is nice. We have some shade from this building. I feel like my audience is all lined up over here today, so I'll be speaking toward this direction. But I am kind of excited to be here and be able to speak to you today and tell you a story that I learned several years ago. It's one I didn't know growing up. I wasn't really discussed a whole lot in the church I grew up in. But it actually introduced to it 12 years ago when me and my family lived in Mississippi. We attended a church there the entire time we lived there for 7 years. This church was really instrumental in international missions and local missions, and it was a blessing to our family. We were fortunate enough to be called to this church, really not knowing what was in the future. None of us had ever made a mission trip before, other than just some local things in our church growing up. But we got so involved with the church, we got involved with missions, and I had an opportunity to go to the Middle East, believe it or not. Some South Alabama kid that hadn't been too far out of Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, had a chance to go to the Middle East to a workers' camp where I was able to share, we were able to share different stories with actually workers from India, of all places. And they came from an area that were not very educated. They couldn't read, they couldn't write. And so they learned all of their information, all the things they learned growing up was told to them in a story format. And so we kind of learned how to tell our stories from the Bible in a story format. And that's what I'm going to do for you today. I'm going to tell you this story. I'm going to give you the verses. It's about a man possessed by demons and evil spirits. Not necessarily your typical July 4th probably sermon, but believe it or not, I'm going to figure out a way to tie it in toward the end. But if you want to follow along, if you have your Bible today, or if you have an iPhone with a Bible on it, or if you just want to write this down and check it out later, actually it comes from two different books of the Bible. The Gospel of Luke is where one this story is told, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And then Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Both are very similar. I've read both of them many times when I prepared for this 12 years ago. Read it several times, both of them preparing to speak today. And I'm going to kind of intermix both passages and kind of, again, put it in a story format that, again, I was so blessed to do 12 years ago. My wife, Bonnie, was had the opportunity to go to Ethiopia for a week, had a chance to go to Vancouver on a mission trip. And then our family was blessed enough, myself and Bonnie and Carson and Chloe, to go as a family three different times to a orphanage home in Mexico, where we got to work there on site, help repair buildings, and had over 200 children there. So our kids got to spend time with them, and we provided kind of a vacation Bible school atmosphere for them. And our hearts were just really called for missions, and we were just loving it. And then all of a sudden the Lord decided to bring us to Birmingham, and it was kind of funny. A couple years before that, I'm not a Facebook guy. I stay off all of social media, or try to, as much as possible. But Bonnie had a Facebook page, and I would always get on her page and kind of, you know, snoop around and look and see what was going on. And we had friends from different places since we had moved to Mississippi. And I noticed one day this guy, Keith Akins, was on there, and it was had his story about the church here at Southside, and I was reading. I was like, man, this is hitting right at home with what we're doing here in Mississippi. This is awesome. So I said, Bonnie, I said, do you know this Keith Akins guy? She's like, yeah, he was some loser from high school. I thought I'd just give him some confidence and follow him on Facebook. I'm just kidding about the loser part. But she did know him from high school and decided to fight. And so she followed him on Facebook. And so for 2 years, we followed this story of this church. Never laid eyes on Keith before. Had never been to some of these places in downtown Birmingham before. And then the Lord calls us to come to Birmingham. And what a better fit after being in a mission field, in a mission church, not to come and visit. And believe it or not, this August will be our fifth year since we made our very first trip. Now, for all you folks out here and watching online, if you're ever going to make a visit to an outside church in Birmingham, Alabama, August is probably not the best month to have the best experience weather-wise. Hotter than it was today, but I'll never forget, we served breakfast that day. Our family worked the drink station, and we have come back ever since. And just feel right at home, and you all were so special to us. We love it here. And today I'm going to share a story with you that I was blessed to share 12 years ago. Wrap all that around and tell me that we don't have an awesome God who is in charge of our lives, who has us prepared and watching after us. 13 years ago, I told you I'd never gone to the Middle East for anything. I sure wouldn't have sat down and learned a story and told it to a group of workers from India. And now all of a sudden, here we are through those different experiences. God was preparing us and our family this whole time. So he's in charge of our life, right? No matter what's happening, what's going on, no matter where we are in our life right now, he is in control. And he is preparing us today for things that are going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And that's just a neat thing to be a part of and to be living out right now. So enough of that. We'll get to the story. I know y'all are dying to know about this demon-possessed man, right? So what happened is this guy is crazy. He is possessed by demons. He has got wily hair. He's running around this town. One of the books says naked, however you want to say that, no clothes on. I prefer to think maybe just shaggy clothes. I don't really want to imagine my demons being fully nude. But he's crazy, right? And he's running around. He's speaking in all these weird tongues and languages. And the people there are just creeped out, man. He's crazy. And they don't know what to do with him. He's sleeping in tombs. He hadn't been inside in years. I can imagine him probably not being very cleanly at this point. And he's freaking the town people out. And so they catch him one day, and they're like, "We got to tie this guy up, man. We can't trust him. We don't need him around our town. He's scaring everybody." And so they bound him up with shackles on his feet and ankles. His ankles and his wrist. But the demons inside of him are so strong that he breaks free. So now I am picturing him in my mind. I love to picture different things with stories because I wasn't there. I wasn't part of the town at this time, so I don't know what he looked like. But again, I can picture him with the crazy hair, ruffled, cut up, nasty clothes. Now he's got cuffs, you know, on his wrist and ankles. But the chains have been broken. They're hanging down. He still has them on. And I think he kind of wants to show people, don't mess with me. I'm too strong for this. And so this is what our main character in the story looks like. The man possessed by demons and evil spirits. So this has been going on for a while. And then Jesus and his crew are leaving, and they're in the Sea of Galilee, and they're heading over to this place where he lives. And they pull up on shore, and Jesus steps out. And guess who the very first person is to come running to him? The man possessed by the evil spirits, right? And think about all these people. Jesus is a pretty big deal right now. You know, he's done some miracles in the day. People know who he is. He's coming to this town. Yet this guy that's inflicted with all these evil spirits and demons is the very first person that meets him when he gets off the boat. And now the demons are starting to, thank you, sir. And now the demons are starting to talk because they know who Jesus is. And so they're starting to say, "Hey, what's going on here, Jesus? What's happening? What do you want with me?" And they recognize him as the Son of the Most High God. So they know who they're dealing with. Then the Lord asks him a simple question. He says, "Well, what's your name?" Yeah, he's a pretty cool cat. He's not really scared off by the demons, right? He's not scared off by this guy running up. And so he asks him, "Hey, what's your name?" And he replies, "Legions," because there's so many demons in his body that there's so many names for him, he calls them legions. And so now they have a conversation going on about what's going to happen now. And so the evil spirits know that God has the power, Jesus has the power to send them away to the abyss. Far away, and they don't want that. They're like, "Hey, I need something better than that. Please, I know you're going to take care of us. I know you're Jesus, right? I know something's about to happen here, but please don't send us away." And the man kind of looks around, and he sees a herd of pigs gathered by the mountainside. And he said, "Hey, can you send us to those pigs?" And so Jesus releases the demons and the evil spirits to the pigs. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have been around pigs. It could just be one or two. And they're pretty squealy and really loud and obnoxious, kind of like fingernails on a chalkboard, you know. So could you imagine over 2,000 is what Mark says, pigs on the side of the hill. Now, they're normal squealy voices, irritating, nasty, muddy, gross, all of a sudden get impaled by these evil spirits and these demons. Now, Mike, here's the good part. You're going to like this part. When the pigs received those evil spirits and demons, they went nuts. And they all ran off the cliff and fell into the sea and drowned. Right? It's a good call for Mike. He's our non-bacon lover over here. So anytime the pigs go down, he's excited. So then the people that were taking care of the pigs look around and they're like, what in the world did we just see? This is out of control. What's more scarier is when they turned around and looked at the man that was possessed by evil spirits and those demons was standing up. And he had clothes on, and his hair was parted, and he was speaking, and people understood what he said. I'm kind of picturing Brad Pitt. He's kind of a good-looking dude, right? So, I mean, just clean, nice shirt, nice pants. Man, this is a guy that has no chains. Chains are gone. He's not shackled anymore. And the guys look at him, and they're like, holy cow, what have we seen here? We have seen pigs go absolutely berserk and kill themselves in this sea. We've seen this man that has been possessed by these evil spirits and these demons all of a sudden become normal, right? And so they're a little freaked out. So they run back to the town, and they start telling all of the folks in the town about what's happening. And they're freaked out. They're like, man, I can't believe this. We got to go check this out. This can't be real. And so they all come down, and they hear the stories, and they see what's happening, and they see the man that they just saw that morning probably running around in the tombs, acting a fool, being crazy. Now here he is, clean, of his right mind, speaking clearly. And they're like, this is too much, man. We love you, Jesus. We appreciate you. But this is wigging us out, man. We need for you to go. And so Jesus says, you know what? You're right. I've done what I've come to do. I'm going to get back on the boat, and me and my folks are going to head on somewhere else. Now the man that's life's been changed grabbed a hold of Jesus. He said, Jesus, please don't. I want to go with you, man. Look at what you did in my life. I want to go. I want to be with you. And then Jesus tells him, he says, you know what? He goes, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what I need for you to do is to go to the villages around and the towns around and tell these other people what's happened to you. Tell them how Jesus Christ has changed your life, a life change, and share it with them and tell them what happened and why it's so important. And so he did. He obliged, and he went off, and that's the end of the story. Crazy, isn't it? I mean, you read that, and it's like, man, that's a movie right there. So now I'm going to give you a couple of things to kind of look at a little bit closer and some things to take away with us from the story. Three kind of things stuck out to me. The first is when the man that's possessed at the time runs down to meet Jesus, right? The very first one in the town, he's down there. I know the demons are speaking for him, but I can just imagine him and his inner self, you know, and I'm sure Jesus could look into his eyes and see that he's sitting there going, I got to have some help. I am possessed. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. These demons are killing me. And it can be, we cannot think about, you know, an actual demon being in your body right now, but think if you're addicted to alcohol or drugs, or a sexual addiction, or maybe you have some mental problems because maybe the way you were born and raised in a family, maybe you didn't have the most loving and caring folks. Maybe you were a parent and you had children and you weren't able to take care of them like you wanted to. And those things are living with you and holding you back and holding you down. So this is what this guy's feeling with those evil spirits and those demons. But he went to God and he asked for help, right? So I think we have to sometimes... And we get too prideful sometimes, right? I can take care of this. It's not an addiction. I'll be okay. I'll just give me a few more days. It'll be all right. When we really need to drop that and have the security and the confidence to know that we can run to our Savior and we can ask for forgiveness. We can ask for Him to take away this pain and these sorrows that we have and these problems that are in our life that's afflicting us and keeping us from trying to be the person that God wants us to be. And so we have to run to Jesus and we have to ask him for forgiveness and ask him to take these things out of our life, because he's the only one that can do it, right? The second thing I picked up from here that I kind of have a picture in my mind, again, I like to create scenarios and things, and when I see the man eat up with the evil spirits, and I see Jesus take those demons out of him and cast them to the pigs, that whole little scenario in my mind kind of looks like a baptism. And we've had some beautiful baptisms out here at Church of Southside since we've been here. Just absolutely wonderful things to witness and be part of. But here's the man that's, you know, he's got these sins. He's got these issues, these problems of the world. He's living for the world. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus forgives him, right? And he takes him down on the, and now think about the being in the baptistry, and he takes you down in the water, and he brings you up, and he cleans you, right? That water rinses all those sins away, all those issues, all those worldly things that you've consumed your life with. And when you come out of that water from that baptism, right, you're clean. You have a new life. You have a new heart. You're going to be living for Jesus now. You got a clean and fresh mind. And your whole life has been changed, a life-changing event. And I can just imagine that man that day, as those demons escaped him and went out to those pigs, the relief he felt. And just picture him going into the water and then coming back up and being clean and whole again. You know, it's just a beautiful scene for me to be able to kind of visualize and look at. And then the last thing, and I kind of mentioned a little bit in the story, is at the end, after these life-changing events have happened, you got to go tell people about it. You can't keep it to yourself. Maybe you don't have to come up here with a microphone and talk to you today. Maybe you can share with a friend at church. Maybe you feel blessed one day and led one day to stand up here and tell your life-changing event. It can be as simple as where you were before, how Jesus came, rescued you from this life, and how you're new today and how you're different today. And we love those stories. Jesus loves those stories. That's why he asked this man to go and tell other people about it. That's how the gospel grows. What if he just stayed in that little village and kept it to himself and never told another person? I don't know you, but if I've had all these demons inside of me, and I've got my own demons, and I've got my own issues and my own problems, I still do today at certain times. Man, if I had somebody that I could go to and he could take them out and get rid of them for me and make me whole and clean and pure again, I'm going to go tell my friends about it, right? I'm going to go tell other people about it because I want you guys to know about it. I want everybody here to know about it because that's what we're here to do once we become Christians, is we experience that life-changing event, is then go share it with other people. So those are the things we kind of get from the story. Again, it was just a special story to me that I was involved with so many years ago, and who knows whose lives were changed through that ministry that I was part of over the years. I still have a picture in my wallet of one of the guys I got kind of befriended when I was there, and I look at his picture every now and then, and it reminds me of that time in my life and just how Jesus was protecting us as a family and me as a person and preparing our hearts for what's going to happen 12 years down the line. And so I was excited to share that with you today. Now, to make the leap to July the 4th, from that, it's all about freedom. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate our country's freedom, right, and our independence. Man, what better freedom and independence is there in the world other than to have Jesus Christ in your heart, right? And so tomorrow while we're shooting fireworks and having hamburgers and hot dogs and burning up under the July sun, man, think about the freedom and the independence and the your life with Jesus Christ in it and what it can be for you, for your loved ones, and for your friends. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this opportunity just to gather as a family. That's what's so special here is we're family. We care about each other. We learn from each other. We rely on each other through prayers and support. We appreciate the food this morning, both the spiritual message through your stories and through the singing from Jesse's songs. But we also thank you for the meatloaf and the potato salad and the macaroni and cheese. We know it goes a long way too. And we are blessed to have that opportunity to be able to share that together as a group. We just thank you so much for this country. It may not be in the best shape it is right now. There's a lot of demons and evil spirits happening right now in our country that needs to be addressed and needs to be handled. And we know you're the only one that can do that. And so we pray and we lift our country up to you, that you'll watch over us and protect us. And we also do that on an individual level as well, Lord. If there's someone here today that knows they have some demons and some evil spirits in them and some habits and some evil things that are they're happening in their life, that they have the confidence in you to run to you, to trust you, to love you, to have a relationship with you and ask you to come in their heart, to be a changed person, to have those things lifted out of your body, out of your heart, so you can be whole again. You can be one with God. And we just want to take the time right now just to thank you for being a loving and a merciful Father. Please just watch over us and protect us as we go our different ways this week. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Grace is found is where